This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Sandra Yun McKay started to exhibit the symptoms of paranoid schizophrenia, eventually re-diagnosed as schizoaffective disorder, and it came as a surprise to both her and her unsuspecting family. Now Sandra has written a book about her journey called My Schizophrenic Life, The Road to Recovery from Mental Illness. She writes that her experience of life has been similar to being on a traveling bus, making stops to drop off outdated assumptions and painful memories while picking up new insights and opportunities.
Sandra Yuen McKay joins us on the phone from Vancouver. Welcome back to People First Radio, Sandra.
Thank you, Kevin.
Sandra, your relationship to your family is a significant dynamic in your book. And in a chapter called Early Signs of Impending Problems, you write the following. My mental illness came as a surprise to our unsuspecting family. We had few skeletons in our closet. Mental illness was never mentioned in our family history, even though it can be passed on through genes. Tell us about the impact this had on your family.
Yes, my family was really unprepared for the onslaught of this illness. When I first started to withdraw and I was very quiet, I didn't talk to my family. My mother thought, well, maybe she's going through a phase. She's a teenager. When I wouldn't respond to her questions in the morning because I was living in my own world, she decided to take me to a GP. And the GP, tested my hearing because my mother thought I had a hearing problem. Then he said, well, I think she has attention deficit disorder. So that was the misdiagnosis I had at an early age. I didn't really clue in on how much my illness affected my family because I was suffering at the same time. And they all really reeled from it, and I think it was a great loss to them as well.
You wrote that, and I'm quoting your book again, my parents and sisters were my caregivers. They had little knowledge about mental illness initially, but saw the effects it had on me. No one gave them a crash course in psychiatry to explain about symptoms and medications. Instead, they learned ways to deal with me on a day-to-day basis.
We hear about, psychiatrists, they're paid per hour. They don't take it home with them, but the family is there 24/7. They're there every step of the way. They suffer with you. They see your highs, your lows, your confusion. And it's weird because, how much of a future is my child going to have or my sister going to have? Are they going to be able to manage to have enough finances to live? Are they going to be able to get a job or get married or have a relationship with a person? So it's really a lot of questions that can be very scary for the family, I think.
You've written some compelling descriptions of your experiences with delusion and paranoia. At one point in your journey, you tell a psychiatrist who you call Dr. Franklin, sometimes when I move from reality to delusion, there's a minute period of time where I can see both sides of the fence. I see my family and life as they are, but I also see another parallel world where I am the subject of deception and cruelty. Then I fall deeper into psychosis and lose objectivity. Tell us more about that experience.
It's like sitting on a fence. There's just that moment where you can kind of see both sides before, I would slide into a more paranoid or delusional state. And every time I move from reality to delusion or delusion to reality, I'd have to renegotiate what my belief system was. I had to say, okay, I can see that's a delusion. I can kind of cubbyhole that. That's a symptom of my illness. This is what's real, like what's around me, what I see physically in the room. And I'd have to change my whole perception repeatedly.
When reading your book, I was drawn page by page into experiencing what you were experiencing. And I recall the movie A Beautiful Mind, which of course is based on the life of the mathematician John Forbes Nash. Were you inspired by that film?
Oh, definitely. I thought it was really, really well done. I think the idea that, the visual hallucination of his friend and the little girl, I think that was really effective the way they did that. And the way they pulled you in and made, you live with his delusion that he was meeting with these government officials and doing all this type of undercover work. And I think that is really interesting that they were able to do that through film. It was well done.
Sandra, you were hospitalized more than once. The first description of your experience in a hospital psychiatric unit comes early in the book in a chapter called Forced Hospitalization, and you wrote the following of the experience. I felt free from my inner demons for the first time in a long while. The change in environment released me from the pressures I faced at school. My paranoia had diminished. I had no hallucinations at the hospital. Tell us more about your experiences with that particular hospitalization.
It was interesting because I acted out and I did some destructive behavior. I was taken to hospital and diagnosed, and I think I felt relief. I felt safety after feeling I was being plotted against. I had a lot of fear, a lot of paranoia. And when I was put in hospital, finally somebody could hear me and I could share these things that were happening with me that I didn't understand.
You also, for want of a better word perhaps, escaped from hospital, once leaving to find your way back to your parents' home. And during a separate hospitalization, you escaped, so to speak, to another part of the hospital. What was that all about?
I didn't want to be in hospital. I felt being in hospital meant that my predicament was really, really in crisis. And I really wanted to go home and just be in my own bed and be away from all that clinical stuff. You know, being trialed on different types of medications, seeing other people in hospital that had a lot of severe problems. It was scary sometimes to be, like when I was in an adult ward later on, to be around people that were exhibiting a lot of symptoms or medication type side effects.
You're listening to People First Radio. Sandra Yuen McKay began experiencing the symptoms of paranoid schizophrenia in her early teens. Frightened and knowing nothing about the disease, she kept it to herself. Her family couldn't differentiate between what might be called normal teenage mood swings and Sandra's behavior due to mental illness. Meanwhile, Sandra couldn't differentiate between reality and the false messages her brain was sending her. Now, Sandra Yuen McKay has chronicled her experiences and how she was able to structure her life around the disease after many attempts. Her book is called My Schizophrenic Life, The Road to Recovery from Mental Illness.
Sandra, your book spans 30 years of struggle and challenge. At one point, you write that you felt punished, like Sisyphus in the underworld, pushing a rock up a hill over and over again. At the same time, in the early 1980s, while on a youth ward in hospital, you wrote, as you describe, a funny fairy tale about the others in the ward, which you then read to them. You also had a sketchbook, which you showed to your roommate, and soon the word got out that you had artistic talent. Tell us about the emergence of creativity on your journey and what it came to mean over time.
Creativity was really cathartic for me. It was very therapeutic. In later years in high school, I became interested in art and went to college and took a fine arts diploma. Being able to produce something on paper, be it writing, be it painting, an image, a drawing, I found it was really, really effective in helping me express myself nonverbally. And I think that relationship I have with my creative side also comes out of my illness, because my illness would stretch my imagination to the limits, and I could kind of use that in my art.
You also write, I found myself through art classes. I learned there are many correct ways to draw and paint. I found satisfaction in the creative process. And Sandra, as I read that line, I learned there are many correct ways to draw and paint. I thought of the many struggles that emerged during the telling of your story, the struggles that appeared to be you trying to accept yourself as who you were.
Yes, I can see that. For me, It was a challenge because I was always a perfectionist, a high achiever, and I had to kind of reinvent myself and find an identity, find out who I was, who I wanted to be.
You include 10 suggestions toward the end of your book for caregivers or families of mentally ill persons, which you summarize. The first recommendation is, it's important to recognize the mentally ill person as an individual with unique abilities and strengths. And you point out the importance of respect. And once again, along the same theme, is this something that you had to learn to do with yourself?
Oh, definitely. I had a lot of self-stigma, meaning I blamed myself for my illness. I thought I was too weak to overcome it or not bright enough to recognize symptoms all the time, or that I was just too ill to be able to succeed in life. And it took me a long time to realize that I'm human. Yes, I have limitations, but I can still have purpose and happiness in my life.
How has the writing of this book changed you, Sandra?
It was very good that I wrote this book over time, because I was able to reflect on the past and see growth, see all the amazing things that happened to me through my life, be it mental health related or not, reflect on my marriage, my relationships with people I met along the way, experiences, things I learned. It was really mind-boggling actually to put it down on paper.
Now, you launched this book over the weekend. How did that book launch go?
Oh, it went very well. There are about 75 people. The bookseller sold out of books. I had a lot of good comments. People really were encouraging me. A lot of congratulations, hugs, and a lot of book signings and a reading as well.
We have just a moment left in our discussion today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add.
Oh, I'm just glad I was able to be on your show. And I think this book really speaks to people, not just people with illness or families with illness, but anybody that wants to be educated or have more insight about mental illness. And I think the message is that recovery is possible. You know, I may still be on medication, but I lead a fairly normal life.
Thanks very much, Sandra, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was nice speaking with you.
Okay.
Sandra Yun McKay received a diploma in fine arts from Langara College in Vancouver and a Bachelor of Arts degree in art history from University of British Columbia. She is an artist and exhibits her colorful acrylic paintings in the Vancouver area. Sandra's articles, stories, and poems have appeared in Front Magazine, The Bulletin, The Prairie Journal, and other print and online publications. You can find Sandra's book, My Schizophrenic Life, The Road to Recovery from Mental Illness, at Amazon.ca.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY Radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.